My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Welcome to Becoming is Messy, where we dive deep into the journey of survival, transformation, and everything in between. I'm your host, Megan Dawson, here to share the honest, unfiltered stories behind my own process of becoming. Life isn't a pretty and perfect straight line, and neither is becoming the person we're meant to be. Here, we embrace the ups, the downs, and all the beautiful, chaotic, messy moments that shape who we are. Whether you're in the thick of change or reflecting on past transformations, this space is for real conversations about what it means to grow, stumble, and rise again. So get comfy, settle in, and let's get messy. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Becoming is Messy. Today's conversation sits squarely in the P of my imperfect level up framework, pass it on. The moment when your personal becoming transforms into a ripple effect that impacts others. My guest, Professor M.S. Rao, is a living example of what it means to lead with empathy and service. A veteran of the Indian Air Force, a global leadership educator, and the founder of MSR Leadership Consultants, Professor Rao's life took an unexpected turn when he suffered a brain hemorrhage that left his right hand paralyzed. But instead of letting that setback define him, he turned it into a source of wisdom, deepening his understanding of mindfulness, compassion, and the kind of leadership the world truly needs right now. His vision 2030 is to shape 1 million leaders through what he calls soft leadership, a model grounded in empathy, inner work, and service. Professor Rao, thank you for joining me on Becoming Messy.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me this wonderful opportunity to interact with you. I hope and wish that we have an excellent interview and hopefully we'll impact the world globally.
Oh, I have no doubt we're going to have a great conversation. Help set the stage for our discussion today and tell them a little bit about this current season that you're in.
My name is Professor M.S. Rao. I have published 55 books, including our best-selling book titled The Nobel Laureate, His Holiness Dalai Lama Has Written a Foreword. I'm an educator, investor, and I'm a philosopher, storyteller. I create my own stories and impact humankind. And I was born into a toxic family and grew up in a toxic environment. My life is full of struggles and sufferings. I don't have two-wheeler. I don't have four-wheeler. I'm 62 years old. Despite having all the challenges, I rose from the ashes like a phoenix. And I had a brain stroke in the year 2021. And doctors thought that I won't, but I proved the doctors wrong. Then I survived. Then again, doctors told that I may not be able to get up from the bed. Then again, I proved the doctors wrong. And I started walking. This is about life. And life is not a straight. Life is full of ups and downs. What we have to do is we have to be resilient and we have to bounce back from challenges. And life is not a cakewalk. Life is not linear. So be positive and be optimistic and add value and impact for the world. Apart from this, I made my debut as an author in the year 2000. For 15 years, I have published 55 books. That took a span of 15 years, I published 55 books. And I made my debut as an author. I made my debut as a non-fiction, different areas, education, learning, teaching, training, executive education, then again, mindfulness. Now I completed the MMA. So like this, I keep doing lots of, I'm workaholic. I take rest only at my graveyard. Morning, 4 o'clock, I wake up. Night, 10 o'clock, I sleep. Throughout the day, I add value and impact. This is briefly about my direction.
Yes. Oh, that's wonderful. You mentioned a few times in that introduction the suffering and challenges and the ups and downs that come with life, which is really at the heart of this show. Becoming is messy. The philosophy is for all of us to embrace the fact that life is full of ups and downs, and we are to use all of those to help transform and alchemize that into our superpower, is really our belief. Can you share a few of the twists and turns in your growing up, the ups and downs that you referenced? What were some of those? Just give us some highlights of your childhood and teenage years that kind of led you into the work that you're doing today.
Thank you for asking this wonderful question. I was born on October 31st, 1963, in a tiny village in India. And I was born into a toxic family and grew up in a toxic environment. And my life is full of struggles and sufferings. And English is not my native language. I started speaking from two languages. Then gradually I picked up English. And then again, what happened? My father was alcoholic and litigant. And my mother was a complicated woman. I was cursed with toxic siblings. So lots of challenges. The main turning point in my life was that I joined Indian Air Force at 18. So I was a college dropout. Then again, after I joined the Indian Air Force military, and I was getting a salary of around $5 in a month in the year 1982. Every month I used to send money to support my parents. It was my responsibility to support my siblings. So that's what I did. I, right from my childhood, passionate about education and learning. With limited money, I invested in my education and learning. And Indian Air Force is very challenging. Military life is very challenging. Sometimes I had to wake up different time zones, different times, different climatical conditions. But we were prepared for all those things. So despite working in the Indian Air Force, I utilized my time to visit libraries to acquire knowledge. Because in those days, there was lack of information. Now people are inundated with lots of stuff. But in those days, we did YouTube. Everything was very, very difficult. So I used to go to libraries in the Indian Air Force because I was very much passionate about education and learning. I sacrificed my personal time in the Indian Air Force by visiting libraries. Then I acquired 6 qualifications in the Indian Air Force, all through private education. People might think that I acquired my qualifications from universities like Kellogg's, Cambridge, or Harvard. But the fact was that I was a college dropout, and everything I learned by trial and error method and with limited money. So this was briefly about my educational background. And then again, in the year 2000, my father invited me to join for business. Then I left Indian Air Force, and unfortunately, my father backstabbed. That was one more challenge. Then I did business, but it didn't work out. Then in the year 2007, I became an educator. So then I applied for my PhD. I got my PhD in 2011. Overall, I have several qualifications. I acquired qualifications like degree BSc, DME in Ceylon, MBA, then again PGDPM, 2 years course, then again in sociology, then PhD in soft skills. So all these qualifications are in a very tough situation. Funds, things were not provided, and I had to for my own survival. And I supported my parents, I supported my sister, and I also sponsored one of my friends. So all these things, I did it with limited money. Because nowadays, people have got lots of opportunities, but in those days, lack of opportunities. And when I was in the Indian Air Force, I used to wake up morning 4 o'clock, night 10 o'clock, I sleep. Then again, night after 10, again, I used to read in the street lamp post. Then 1 hour, I was passionate about education and learning. Then again, I would sleep. Then again, 4 o'clock, I would wake up in the Indian Air Force, then I would go for running, all physical activities. It was very challenging. So life is not easy. Life is full of challenges. But one thing that I like is that I love acquiring my knowledge. This is the main thing. And I love sharing my knowledge freely with the world. I have 4 blogs and I have 3 YouTube channels. I'm very strong on Amazon. So all these 53 books I have published. Then again, one more challenge was that in 2021, I had a brain stroke. For more than 4 years, I was on the bed. So I could not write anything. And I am not able to type with my right hand. I am not able to eat with my right hand. So my right shoulder right hand has been numbed. So lots of challenges. So life taught me many lessons, but still I'm not giving up. And we should never ever give up, because life is a gift. We have to embrace challenges. We have to embrace failures. And we have to embrace vulnerability, then embrace technology. These are all things I have been sharing with people. And my vision is to build 1 million students globally, just by 2030. This is a non-profit. And why I had to start this vision was that I was not blessed with coaches. I was not blessed with mentors and didn't have any guide. So there was a gap in my life. Then I thought, let me groom students as global leaders. This is what I did. And so far, I have trained more than 50,000 students physically. And then after the brain stroke, after COVID, things have changed online. There is a disruption. Everything has changed. Still, I'm sharing my knowledge on my blogs and various other outlets. This is how I liked, and still I'm doing my level best, despite the limitations, doing my best, because I want to add value and impact humanity.
You share a little bit about your recovery, and gosh, to be in bed and not be able to do your writing and teaching for that whole time must have been so challenging. What were some of the hardest parts of your recovery, physically, mentally, spiritually, and how has that shaped who you are afterwards?
Yeah, it's a good question. And usually they give up whenever they have challenges. Yeah. But the thing is that we should never, ever give up. That's one thing I share with everyone. And you don't get things on a platter.
That's right.
And in my case, I didn't get anything on a platter. Everything I had to, I created my own door. And I started to knock on the door. I searched for opportunities and I kept leading. There are two challenges I had in my life. I had a business impact in the year. And then I became an educator. Then again, I had a brain stroke in the year 2021. First lockdown was okay, but second lockdown because of the brain stroke. So even when I collapsed after the brain stroke, I was not able to speak. I got my CT scan, lots of tests were done. Then I realized that there are some clots in my brain. Luckily, my wife stood by me and she took me to hospital. And with money in Seattle, USA, he sent money. Then I survived. So lots of challenges I encountered in my life. But everything happens for a reason. Although I had challenges, the good news is that I started bouncing back from my brain stroke. For 1 year, I was literally on the bed. Then again, I started going to gym. There are four aspects I stick to in my life. First thing is, I'm passionate about education and learning.
Yes.
Second thing, I visit temples, whether I'm in Seattle or whether I'm in India, I visit temples. Third thing, I visit libraries. Even I visited in Seattle because I love learning. And fourth thing is, I enjoy watching some films. So these are the four aspects I keep doing it. Because of various reasons, somehow I survived. And everything happens for a reason. And so we have to take things in a very positive way. And my blood group is V positive and I am positive by nature.
Yeah. So I'm curious, just looking at yourself and who you are before and after your stroke. Do you feel like your identity has evolved in any way based on going through that experience?
Yeah, because I realized my inner potential more after the brain stroke. Usually what happens when people have challenges, they surrender and they give up. Yep. I started doing things in a different manner. I became more creative. Of course, I'm very curious and creative by nature.
Yes.
But this brain stroke helped me to discover. Usually I was reading physical books. Now I reinvented myself and I started reading digital books because there is a disruption. And so many aspects that have changed. But still, I find it very difficult to get along with the technology, and technology has changed the game. So sometimes I find it very difficult to adapt to technology, but I'm gradually recovering, and hopefully I'll embrace technology, I'll embrace vulnerability, and I'm still recovering.
Yes.
I'm very happy in that way.
Yeah, I am not recovering from a stroke, but I am very challenged with technology, and I feel I'm evolving much slower than the world is with it.
No, if you made it single, you also had some technical challenge.
Exactly.
You're very smart and brilliant. So yes. That is smart and brilliant. Somehow you came to Google, I think. You Googled, but then yeah. you checked from Google, then you came to know that there was some echo that you yes. handled it. And then again, we are on the...
That's right. We got to figure it out. I would say I am a problem solver. So I certainly end up competitive, and I was not going to let technology get in the way of this conversation. So we were going to get it done.
But this is what I like in you. That thing is that people are okay, some technical problem, we will conduct interview some other time. But that's not good.
There now. So we'll figure it out.
We have to find out the ways and means of the issues. As a problem solver, the troubleshooter, this is the one takeaway from my end is that you know how to resolve the problems.
Yes.
So hats off to you.
Yes. Like you, I have had many problems in life that I've had to resolve. So to me, the tech challenges, that's pretty minor compared to the rest of my life.
In my life, right? I'm a dyslexic. Then I had ADHD, attention hyperactivity disorder.
Yep, I hear you.
Stroke. That was brain stroke. I'm a soul and none. But the challenges are coping up and I'm moving forward.
Yes, and you're sharing with others. And I find that so commendable. I think it's really important for all of us to share our lessons and what we learn. And for you, the word soft leadership is a big part of the work that you share. Talk a little bit about the definition of soft leadership that you use.
Yeah, okay. I move on to this soft leadership. I have published 55 books. That means I have 55 babies. So
yes.
books I have kept it. This is about soft
leadership.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yep.
This is the book titled Soft Leadership, New Direction to Leadership. This is a book is unique in many aspects. Why? Because I have dedicated this book to Patton, who is known as the father of modern management. That's one aspect. Second thing is this book on soft leadership, I received a foreword from Philip Kotler, who is known as father of modern marketing too. Then third thing is, Dale Ulrich is known as the father of modern HR. He has created 11 C's for my soft leadership. And the fourth aspect is that I am known as the father of soft leadership globally. So this is briefly about soft leadership.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
And the soft leadership is all about the people skills and all about leading without compromising the task orientation. That means it is to emphasize the people's aspects, but without compromising the basic principles. This is about soft leadership. In the year 2010, I had an idea to create my own soft leadership because I was conducting MDP programs. Management development programs. Then I taught for EMBA students. And then some of the students sent so many leadership styles like autocratic, democratic, delegate, servant leadership. So many leadership styles are there. So why to create your own leadership perspective? So then I thought, let me work on that. It was on my subconscious mind. And then what happened? I earned my PhD soft skills in the year 2011. So 2010 onwards, I was thinking to proceed with soft leadership. So this is the journey with soft leadership. So whenever there is a gap, I try to fill the gaps. Because I'm a researcher. And I published 300 research papers. And I published more than 1,000 articles. And I was a regular contributor for Entrepreneur magazine. And I still serve on the editorial boards of DLO of Emerald. And I serve on the board of JBPL USA. So like that, so many things I didn't, but this brain stroke was a dampener. So I was not able to focus. I have limited my area of activities due to the health challenges. So this is briefly about my soft leadership. This soft leadership is to emphasize people's skills without compromising the task orientation. Then I published around 10 books on soft skills and soft leadership. And still I'm doing research about soft leadership and I want to blend, integrate soft leadership with some technology. I want to blend soft leadership with brain science and various other aspects I'm trying to integrate so that I can create something unique and add value and to the world. There are lots of things which are there in my mind and in the pipeline, but it's a matter of time because I can't do so many things. So I take up one area and work on that and keep progressing. This is what I am doing about soft leadership.
Yeah, so did the integrations that you just talked about with soft leadership, are those the foundational elements of your Vision 2030?
This is Vision 2030 is about students. I wanted to build 1 million students as global leaders by 2030. So I trained more than 50,000 students physically. It's a non-profit one. This is See the Light in You. This is again a different one. This is about mindfulness.
Okay.
His Holiness Dalai Lama has written a foreword.
Yes.
He's in India.
Wonderful.
That too. This is a soft leadership. This is again a different book. And like that, so many things I'm doing it. Still much is in the pipeline. Hopefully, if I recover from my brain stroke fully, then I'll focus on different specific area. And I'm also trying to search on this philosophy also. And I want to write a book on philosophy also. So lots of things are there in my hand. The only thing is my health is not permitting currently. So once I recover, then I'll be able to do it. And then again, the one more challenge in my life was that I started writing books from the year 2010. And I started in teaching, training, education, executive coaching. Then I published a book on education. Then again, diversity. I advocate gender equality globally. I signed up for hashtag he for she. Okay. The moment I get a leader who can write a foreword, then I want to publish the book. So like this I'm doing, I give up that easily. This is about my life.
In your view, what are some of the misconceptions that people have about heart-led leadership, mindfulness, soft skills? And do you think there's some misconceptions about those things?
It's about the soft skills?
Is it about the soft skills? Yeah, so essentially when you think of, I read a comment that said, we need less bosses and we need more healers, which I love that. That is, right? That's so great.
Love it. I love
it. I think that sums up a lot of the topics you're talking about, even though you section them out. In my mind, they all bucket up to heart-led leadership, in my view. And I just was wondering if you feel like there's misconceptions in the world around leading with your heart.
Yeah, okay. It's a wonderful question. Now, coming to these bosses, so the world doesn't need bosses. Now, people want to become partners because the world has changed very fast. So there are different generations like baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y. Y means they are known as millennials. These millennials and then Gen Y and Gen Z are tech savvy. They are very smart and brilliant. They are very ambitious and they want to grow and impact. But whereas the baby boomers, and I belong to Gen X. So like this, all generations have different approaches, different strokes for different people, right? Now we have to focus on, we should not emphasize on bosses. We should look for partnership. This soft leadership is all about partnership. I would like to call them as partners. No bosses, no subordinates.
Yes.
We are partners to work with peace and prosperity, right?
Yes.
So the concept of bosses doesn't work out in the prevailing situation. Even a few years back, bosses were respected. Nowadays, no one respects these bosses. If you look at some of the people, bosses are autocratic. If you look at Jobs, he emphasized bossism. Then if you look at Elon Musk, he's an autocratic leader, right? And people have different perspectives. But the point is that we should work in such a way that we can gel well with all generations and impact globally. There is no room for bossism in this world. Things are changing very fast. We should learn to live with the realities.
So help us understand, with all that you focus on, summarize the legacy that you want to leave behind from your experience and all that you share in your books. How would you sum up the legacy that you want to leave behind for the world?
Legacy is not an easy thing. It's very difficult.
Yes.
Let me share with you. I read the thousands of books during my lifetime. Abraham Lincoln has been my inspiration since my childhood. And I respect Mahatma Gandhi. And I also respect leaders like Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, Aung San Suu Kyi, His Holiness Dalai Lama, then again Mother Teresa. These are all the leaders I admire. The message I would like to share with everyone is that learn, unlearn. When you want to leave a legacy for the next generation of leaders, you have to work very hard so that you will be able to impact and leave a legacy for the next generation of people. People are born and people die. It's part of life. We have to add value and impact humankind so that we can leave a legacy for the next generation of leaders.
Mm-hmm. These next few questions are a segment called Rapid Reel. No need to really think too hard on these. It's just a way to get to know you a little bit more. And so to get started, I think we'll stick with the youth that you just mentioned. What makes you hopeful for the next generation of leaders?
So, achieve success with integrity, add value and impact. Mm-hmm. This message I can leave for the next generation of leaders. And
yes.
Usually people, what they do, people are more ambitious. They try to the corners. So, but be ambitious and be realistic and achieve success with integrity so that you'll be able to impact globally.
So you write your own books and share your wisdom. Is there an author or a book that has really shaped your perspective? Somebody else's book that you really respect?
Than my books, you mean to say?
Yes, somebody else's books. Is there another author that you love to read?
I love two books. Art of War by Sanju, strategist. That's one thing. The second thing is Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. These two are the to my heart.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of course, there are so many books. Like again, My Experiments with Truth by Mahatma Gandhi. This is the third book. Like this, so many books I have read. These three books are very much precious. They are very close to my heart. First thing is Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Because this guy was very optimistic. He was kept in the concentration camp. He was offered with a bowl of soup. He was very lean. But still he was very positive. His manuscript, he wrote his own observations. Then again it was destroyed. Then again he came out of this concentration camp. Then again, he wrote the book. And it's a wonderful book. That is Man's Search for Meaning. That's one thing. The second thing is Art of War. This is about military and strategy. And I'm a military veteran. So I like this book. Sanju, I think many years ago, he wrote a book titled Art of War. Okay. The third thing is Gandhi, I admire very much. And I read that book, My Experiments with the Truth. So these are all the basic three books written by somebody else. And the fourth book I have already written, that is, the title of the book is Survivor, subtitle, Turn Your Scars into Stars.
Scars into Stars.
Stars. This is the book I have already written. I'm looking for a Nobel laureate who can write a foreword for my book, Survivor. So once if I get a foreword, then I'll publish this book, which is a memoir, right?
As your family describe you.
My family? Family is my wife. My wife is a symbol of compassion and charisma.
Yes.
She's very smart and brilliant. And when I had a brain stroke in 2021, she rose to the challenges. Then she took me to hospital and my two sons also supported. And I'm what I am because of my wife. And I am what I am because of my two sons. So without my two sons and without my wife, life is nothing. So I give a lot of importance to my two sons and my wife.
Wonderful. Before we get to the final question, is there anything else that we didn't touch on today that you wanted to share? And then also, how can everybody connect with you and your work?
If you can Google Professor M. S. Rao, M for motivation, S for success, then R-A-O means, R means resilience, A means ambitious, O means optimistic. My name is Professor M. S. You can get my books and blogs, everything you can get it. Alternatively, if you can Google soft leadership, then you can understand the number of books that I have published. I have 4 and 3 YouTube channels. I am mostly available on LinkedIn. So this is my address where you will find all the books, content, everything, you will get it.
Wonderful. We will also share all of those connections when we promote this episode. And one final question. We have listeners right now who might be in their own messy middle, their own period of hardship and rock bottom. When you found yourself in those hard moments, what's a piece of advice that you wish would have come sooner?
This too shall pass.
Yep.
Because challenges are part and parcel of life. So
yes.
Everything happens for a reason. All that happens for good, right? So be positive, and challenges will be there. So this too shall pass. That means keep moving, keep progressing, be resilient, and never ever give up.
Thank you so much, Professor. Your life lessons and knowledge and wisdom are such powerful reminders that true leadership doesn't come just from titles, control, or strategy, but can come from the heart.
I feel very happy with this present conversation. The certain things I observed in this video is that you are very persistent by nature. That's one thing I observed. Because you had some technical challenges, then again you resolved. That means you are a problem solver. That means you are a troubleshooter. That's one thing. Second thing is you empathize with me. Third thing, paraphrased whatever I said. Because I speak with Indian accent and you speak with American accent. So there is some gap that you have bridged. So I'm very happy with you, especially with this kind of interview. And it's a very warm and conversation. I'm grateful to you and express my gratitude to you.
With gratitude. Thank you. That means so much to me. I really appreciate that, Professor. I've very much enjoyed our conversation as well. Thank you for being a guest today.
Yeah, thank you.
In this episode, we tied to the P in the Level Up framework, which is pass it on. The part of our journey where growth becomes a gift to others. Today's story challenges to think about what it really means to lead, not from command, but from care. So listeners, here's your messy takeaway tip for strengthening your own P. Start small, but start today. Look for one way to lead with empathy in your everyday world. Maybe it's mentoring a colleague, listening fully to a friend, or softening your own self-talk. Service doesn't have to be grand to be meaningful. Every act of care plants a seed. As Professor Rao reminds us, leadership is love in action, and when we pass it on, we become the kind of light that the world needs most. If this conversation inspired you, share it with someone who leads from the heart or someone who's learning to. And as always, thank you for showing up here in all of your beautiful becoming. Until next time, friends, keep embracing your messy and keep passing it on. Thank you.
Before we wrap today, I want to invite you to be part of the Becoming is Messy community. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And if there's anything that resonates with you, please leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me, and it helps other people find this community. Follow me on social media. I'd love to hear your ideas for future topics, your questions, and stories from your own messy moments. And if you're feeling inspired, check out the Becoming is Messy shop, where you can grab a mug, a t-shirt, or something else that reminds you to embrace your messy magic every single day. A huge thank you to the incredible Wolves and Sheep for providing the music for Becoming is Messy. Check them out on your favorite music streaming platform. As we close out today's episode, remember this: messy is just another word for growing. So keep showing up, keep laughing, and keep making beautifully awkward progress. Until next time, stay messy, my friends.